Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show. Mystique Entertainment, a global network for your top source for live streaming continuous content such as music, film, trade shows, lifestyles, and wellness and reality shows. For business inquiries, contact Mystique Entertainment. Info mystiqueentertainment at gmail.com.
Hey everybody, there was supposed to be a disclaimer coming on air, but for some reason, it did not. So it's all to the good. We are live. What's up,
the
everyone?
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Ha-ha, what's up, everyone? You are listening to Miss Tammy TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, and fitness. Now, before we start our show, I want to give a couple shout-outs out there. And the first most important thing I want to say is thank you and shout-out to all my listeners out there who are faithfully listening to my show every week, whether it's live or later when you have time. I seriously appreciate all of your support. It means so much to me that you are able to listen to my passion, you know, in nutrition and sports and fitness and, you know, interviewing these pro athletes and sharing their stories. This really fuels me and fills my heart. So I really appreciate you guys, you know, along on this journey with me, and for Ed Waterford for giving me this platform to be on, to be able to share some insight with you. And next, I want to give a shout out to DJ, Malik, Jalen, James, and last but not least, the champ who I'm about to interview in a few moments, that Ochoa kid, Rudy Ochoa, for your victories last weekend in Tijuana. You know, you all put on a great show, and I was very impressed and blessed to be able to be there in the same arena with you all and TJ and watch you behind the scenes, you know, at the weigh-in and the eating good foods before you get in there and your fights, your victories, and outside of the ring, just class acts. I'm so proud of all of you. And last but not least, I want to give a shout out to all the people behind the scenes, because without all of you, these events would not be possible. And I'm talking about the coaches, the managers, the promoters, the cutmen, the judges, the referees, the doctors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It takes a village, you guys, to put on these shows. It's not just, you know, a coach and a fighter, which is huge, but there's a lot of people involved to make these fights happen, and I just want to take time to recognize all of you, because they are the folks behind the fighters who help them progress and lead them to be the champions that they are. So tonight, we're going to get straight into an interview I'm really excited about with somebody that I actually met, I don't believe by chance. I believe everything happens for a reason. One of my girlfriends knew that I was going to TJ to watch some fights, and she was like, huh, my stepson mentioned his friend who's fighting in TJ too. I wonder if he's fighting on the same card. And so I hit up the promoters, and little did we know, he was actually going to fight on this card. And I met him at the weigh-in and got to actually watch him, you know, fight from ringside. you know, what a small world that we live in, right? I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And I just got to say, I was really impressed with his performance last weekend. But what I'm really, really moved by is this man's story and journey through his perseverance and not letting anything get in his way. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to you that Ochoa kid, what they call him, Mr. Rudy Ochoa. Are you there, Rudy?
Yeah, hi, Tammy. Can you hear me? My connection is a little off, but I don't know if you can hear me clearly.
I can completely hear you. How are you doing tonight, Rudy?
I'm pretty good. Just finished up training, so, I mean, I'm feeling really good today. A little nervous. I don't know if you could kind of tell, but I'm a little nervous, but we'll get through it.
No, nothing to be nervous about. We're just having a conversation. There's a lot of people that want to know about your story, and I've been talking you up. So I'm glad that you're joining us tonight. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you for having me. Just the overall opportunity and the interest alone is something that I'm still trying to take in. So just the overall interest is what really blows me away. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I got to say to you, congratulations, champ, for your victory last weekend in TJ. Can you walk our listeners through the fight last weekend? Can you tell us about what happened last weekend?
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it. Thank you, first of all. But, yeah, it was a good little fight. I mean, we were prepared for, you know, the rounds. We were prepared just overall, mentally, physically, everything. So we just went in there with the game plan with, you know, obviously just make sure we get a win and don't take any unnecessary damage. You know, just working overall with Coach Haas. We had a good little game plan, and it was – a tough fight, not to say that it was tougher than we expected, but it was definitely something that was, you know, it was a tough fight. At the end of the day, it was a tough fight. I mean, the guy came in tough. He took some pretty solid punches where I was like, wow, like, okay, he's not going to go down. He went down, but he's not going to stay down. And no matter what any fighter says, when you know you land that perfect punch, and you see your opponent on the floor, and you're like, okay, he's not getting up. And then he gets up. You're like, okay, let's try this. And then he got up again. So, I mean, it's good because I feel like that's definitely going to mentally prepare me for, you know, future fights. Because I know that if I hit an opponent with a good shot and he gets back up, well, I just got to hit him back, get him and hit him back with even better shots. So it was a great experience. I got my rounds in with Coach Haas, you know, between the rounds and everything. So, it was definitely a good experience, and just the overall, you know, being able to put on a good show for everybody that was there, along with people like, you know, that were, realistically, you know, people like you that, you know, didn't know me. That was my introduction, and I believe it was a good fight for me as far as experience and, you know, give my name a little bit more out there.
Absolutely, champ. I mean, that was a great introduction. I mean, you had a fourth round knockout, right?
Yeah, correct. Fourth
you
round
knocked
knockout.
The guy out.
I dropped him three times.
Yeah, I was really, really impressed with you. And you know, how does it feel to win that fight? Now you're 9-0. That's amazing.
It feels really good. I mean, like I said, my whole thing was that little the mental game as far as, you know, like I knocked my opponent down and he got right back up. Okay, you know, we got to keep going. My conditioning was great. I felt good. I mean, I had my legs under me. There was no problem. I've been training hard. I've been, you know, in knuckleheads, training hard. I go to Enerlift, which is like a fitness gym. That's where I do most of my strength and conditioning. I've been pushing myself hard in both gyms, you know, and it was just, I was prepared. That was overall just prepared for anything. Like I said, the rounds, my legs felt good, and just overall, it was just a really great opportunity for myself, and I did what I wanted to do, just go in there and prove myself and just prove to myself that, you know, I'm ready. I was prepared for anything, and it could have gone more rounds, and I would have been perfectly fine. I felt good. I felt composed, and just the overall, just the experience of being in that ring and getting those rounds in was great.
That's awesome. You know, Rudy, a lot of fighters are hesitant to fight in Tijuana because there's that stigma and reputation of Mexico, and to, you know, particularly Tijuana. You know, and you know, while I was there, I found so many amazing places to eat and shop and drink coffee, and you know, just it's really cool. I mean, TJ, to a lot of people, they see things on the news and they have this, it has this bad stigma. So, you know, not to mention, like, there's this amazing, you know, arena that you guys fought in. It kind of looked like a mini Vegas out there. It was just, it was absolutely amazing. Like, all the lights, it was kind of like a club atmosphere. You know, what can you tell fighters out there who might be listening to the show, who might be hesitant to fight in TJ?
See, that's definitely a big thing that always comes up. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the whole part is the people that say, oh, you know, it's dangerous, or, you know, people get, messed up because, you know, the fights don't happen, the opponents don't show up. You know, there's a lot of, like, little backstories. It's dangerous, you get robbed. It's always the people that are just watching the news, you know what I mean? It's like anywhere you go. If you look for trouble, you're going to find trouble. You're going to find the same trouble in L.A. You're going to find the same trouble, you know, in the neighborhoods. It's more of, you know, you just stay in your circle. If you're there to fight, you go to fight. If you, you know, like when I go there, I have a lot of family out there in Tijuana that supports me. And, I mean, I grew up going out there often. We used to make the trips often. So, for me, it was already kind of like, we're okay. You know, my cousins always – growing up told me, just, you know, stay out of trouble, you're cool. You know, there's no problem. It's like anywhere else. So I was already kind of, you know, used to it, but it's more of, you know, go there and do your job like you can go anywhere else. You know, you just get there, do your job, and that's what it is. It's definitely, it's different, that's for sure, the whole vibe, everything. And then, yeah, there are moments where you show up and you end up fighting somebody else. For example, I didn't know until the moment that I was about to walk out to the ring that my opponent got switched on me also. My opponent was switched on me, but I was like, you know, and he was a lot bigger. But at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? I'm prepared for anything. Like I said, I did my work. I trained hard at Knuckleheads, trained hard at Interlift, and I was prepared. So I wasn't even like, oh, dang, like, what's going on? Because there's a lot of fighters that do freak out because Tijuana does have that reputation for, you know, your fighter won't even show up, and then you fight somebody else, and, you know, whatever that is. But at the end of the day, like I said, I was prepared. I personally feel about my, speaking of my personal skills confidently, I mean, I feel like I can box. You know, if I feel like somebody's got that power on me, I feel like I can box. I feel like if I have to, you know, go in there and just, not necessarily close my eyes, but, you know, kind of grab my guts and just hold them tight and go in there and somewhat brawl, I feel like I could do that. If I feel like I got to be a little more technical, you know, and just overall, you know, punch and move, I feel like I could do that too. So, I mean, once I see my opponent, I seen him, I was like, okay, he's a little thick to body. I know he's not going to move as much. So I got my footwork. I've been working a lot with Coach Haas. I've had other trainers before. My previous coach, Alberto, he had taught me how to, you know, move, be defensive, you know, don't get hit. You know what I mean? And then a while back, my first trainer that I started with was Robert Garcia, and that's where I learned, hey, you know what? You know, you kind of just, you're tough. You know, at the end of the day, I was a tough fighter. And then I went to being, okay, don't get hit. But then I wasn't as active. I don't know if you had a chance to catch my pro debut, but on my pro debut, I'm not throwing as much as I am now. I kind of feel like everything, like you had said in your intro, that you had mentioned in your intro, I feel like everything happens for a reason, and I feel like I met Coach Haas at a perfect time. You know, I have that heart. If I got to be there in that ring and be that tough kid, I can be that tough kid. If I got to be the kid that, you know, has to box and not get hit, I can be that person. If I got to be the person that moving and punching and throwing these combinations and doing everything at once, I feel like that's what I'm working on right now with Coach Haas. And that's what I feel like. Everything's just happening for a reason. If you look at me, I don't see, when I look at myself, I don't think, you know, just a southpaw fighter. I see a southpaw boxer. I see a southpaw that kind of could be moving on his feet on his bicycle. And I could look at myself and say, you know what, I feel like I'm a balanced fighter. I can box, I can move, and I could, you know, put my feet down and pull my heart and show my heart, basically. So I definitely feel like everything's happening for a reason.
Absolutely, champ, you know. And, you know, you mentioned your pro debut against Michael Chacon, and I was really impressed, you know, with your pro debut. I mean, just and where you've come to date at this point in time. But, you know, what I did notice, too, is that you had a huge following, you know. Even at this fight, you have people that follow you. There's a lot of people. And at that particular fight, your pro debut, a majority of the crowd was chanting, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. I mean, how did you get such a huge fan base for your pro debut? That's amazing.
Thank you. Honestly, at the end of the day, it sounds a little cliche, but I'm really nothing without the support, because the support, I'm very fortunate to have the family, the friends, the coaches. You know, I played Little League baseball, so I had a lot of, you know, Little League coaches out there, classmates, you know, from elementary school, and just overall family. And at the end of the day, some of it was, you know, word to mouth. I mean, but then I also had family come down. I had a group of family come down from Tijuana, Riverside, Chula Vista, you know. So, I mean, it's just overall, me personally, from what I feel is, I mean, people seeing like, hey, you know what, Rudy's not giving up. Rudy's still training. You know, people would see me training. Everybody knew that I was boxing. And then it's like, dang, you're still boxing. And then it's a year later, you're still boxing. You know what I mean? Oh, amateur fights. And I was just fortunate that once it came down to it, it was like, oh, hey. Well, so my pro debut happened. We were presented with an opportunity, and they said, okay, you know, if you can pay this much money, you know, X amount of money, then we could put you on the card. And then, but I mean, coming from my spot, I was like, damn, you know, that's a lot of money. We started, you know, reaching out for some help. That's where, we were presented to, Lapa Lapa, which is, Manuel Martinez, who is, the owner of a bakery here in Oxnard, Lapa Lapa, Lupita's Bakery. And they helped us out with open hands. It wasn't like, oh, well, you know, hey, I don't know. Let me know tomorrow. Let me see your fan base. Who's, you know, this was before they knew I had somewhat of a fan base. You know what I mean? And it was more of just overall faith. And things went good. I fought. The fight happened. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm here where I am now. But it was just overall just – there's no other way to put it, but it was just overall – pure support just from everybody else. And till this day, I mean, it just means so much, because I feel like it's just a great feeling. And I know I'm very fortunate to have that following, that support, because a lot of fighters don't have that, you know what I mean? And it's definitely something that has kept my head up, you know, during some downtimes. It's like, mentally, I'm like, you know what, I can't just give up, you know, I've got these people behind me, you know what I mean? It's just, I can't give up. And I just, an extra little thank you to everybody that really does support me. Everybody, you know, the small stuff, like, you know, hey, when's your next fight? Or, you know, sharing the pictures, the very small stuff, like liking my pictures, you know, that's like a little high five to me. You know, you like my picture, that's a high five, you know. And just interest overall, like, for example, you know, yourself, it's just a little interest where, as a fighter, it's like, you know what, I got this. Like, people are opening their eyes. If I can open one person's eyes, why can't I open five more eyes? You know what I mean? So it's just, I honestly think at the end of the day, the way I've gotten the support, fortunately, from the beginning, I've had it, but the way I've kept it, and I feel like it keeps growing, is just the overall just dedication. Dedication, determination. Just overall, I mean, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not stopping. And I think people see that, you know what I mean? So that's definitely a big part in my success as a fighter and in my success as a person, is just the overall support that I've been fortunate to have.
That's awesome. You know, and never lose that humble attitude that you have. That's what people want to see. That's what makes people want to work with you. That's what makes people want to follow you. That's what creates your fan base. It's that humble attitude that you have. You're grateful. You're humble. You're hungry. Never lose that chance, you know. And, you know, what I thought was kind of interesting, you know, with your pro debut, you had patches on your trunks of sponsors. And I was like, wow, because it takes people years. There's people that I know that have been boxing for a long time that don't have sponsors. And I thought that was really impressive. How did you achieve that?
Well, the big part was, like you said, it's not common. And you do see a lot of fighters out there, and it's usually the people that were signed by managers that know the people that, you know, get their sponsors and everything. But two of the main sponsors that were on there was Vanessa's Bakery and then La Palapa and Lupita's Bakery. And that's one patch, one part that I always wear, the hat that I was wearing after and before my fight, that's a La Palapa hat. You know, that's something that's always going to be on my uniform for the simple fact that it'll be on my uniform until I'm asked to take it off, regardless, just because they're the ones that said, you know what, we don't have any questions. Here you go. We're going to take care of you. You do what you're going to do. Like, here's your license. Here's your medicals. What you do with your career, your boxing career from here on out is on you. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to just make your pro debut and then quit, that's up to you. And what I did is I made my pro debut and I kept fighting. So the whole sponsor thing, I mean, it was the Vanessa's Bakery and Lupita's Bakery. It's all a family. So he was able to talk to the family and say, hey, you know, we're helping this fighter out, you know, he's a good kid, let's help him out. And they took me in with open arms. So it was awesome. I'm grateful just for overall just that, because it did open a lot of people's eyes. Like, oh, dang, who's this? It's unfortunate, but that's just the way this whole time is right now. Like, if you see somebody, realistically, if you see two people in front of you, you have one guy that has, you know, a bunch of patches and a bunch of support. That doesn't mean that he's good, but you have this other kid that doesn't have anything, you know, just shorts and shoes and a small following, his mom and dad or whatever that it may be. This kid that doesn't have much might be a little bit better, but just because this guy catches more eyes, he's more marketable. And that's where, I mean, it's kind of not necessarily, it's just a little stuff like that I'm just really grateful for. The people that have that faith in me and give me that extra, like the little lift, you know, kind of like a little boost. I can't think of a funny or a better way to say it. I'll probably laugh a little bit later, but you know, that little boost to help me stand out, you know what I mean? So I feel like the family is helping me stand out. So now I got to do my part and make sure that I do what I'm expected to do and do what I look like I should be doing. You know what I mean? I got to be that fighter that has the different styles, be that fighter that's smart. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm trying to be the best person that I can be. I'm trying to be the most positive person that I can be. So it's just overall, it's just that little boost I'm very grateful for. And the boost also comes from the support of, you know, friends, family, and even the social media followers. That's a big part also, because these days, that's another factor. People don't realize it, but that's one big factor too. Nowadays, when you hear a name, the first thing you do is you go to social media, you look them up. So, I mean, just overall the interaction of people, you know, commenting, liking my pictures, you know, sharing my posts. All people don't realize that, but, I mean, I've been in situations where, you know, you're in front of those types of people that are looking, like business people, and it's like, oh, okay, first thing they do right away is look at your social media. Okay, oh, people are interacting with you. Oh, wow, you know, like there's people sharing your stuff. I've seen your picture somewhere. I don't remember where, but I've seen it somewhere. Oh, yeah, I've seen it here. So, I mean, it's just, I feel like I'm at a point, I have a little bit of a head start. I have a boost, and I'm trying my best, and I'm working my hardest to take advantage of what I have right in front of me.
Absolutely. And you kind of touched on something, you know, about style, your style, you know, and styles actually make boxers. You actually seem to have your own type of style that's unique as a southpaw. You know, you really know how to work your jab real nice. I noticed in the ring. You know, who do you feel has been kind of your influence to your career? You know, we all watch tapes. We all watch you know, boxing, who do you think has kind of helped you to develop your own style?
It's funny because me personally, I say it often, and if I see a southpaw fighter, I'm going to watch him. Like, I'm already a fan. I'm any southpaw fighter I watch, you know, and it's not so much of an exact favorite fighter and the complete influence. I feel like I'm trying to mix up everybody and trying to say, oh, hey, look, the way he threw that jab, or he does this, he does that little uppercut. I watch a lot of boxing personally, but then also I watch a lot of my own videos just to see, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. But as far as if I had to make a decision and had to, you know, have a name, obviously it would have to be a southpaw because I watch a lot of southpaws, but I mean, I would say a mix. I would like to say a mix. I mean, I watch a lot of Juan Manuel Marquez, the Puerto Rican fighter. I watch a lot of, there you go. I'm having like a little brain fart, not Juan Manuel, that's the Mexican fighter, but Juanma Marquez, you know, the southpaw Puerto Rican fighter. I watch a lot of him. I watch a lot of Pacquiao fights, obviously. I watch a lot of Lomachenko fights. It's a funny story. Coach Haas, you know, has sort of fluffied or cushioned that name in with my name every once in a while, and that's like a big thing. I try not to get too big-headed. I hope he doesn't get mad that I mentioned that, but it's just one of those little things that, like, I try to mix everybody, you know what I mean? And I just – a lot of southpaws, really – in general, I watch a lot of southpaw fighters, but at the end of the day, I want to be that exciting fighter. I want to be that intelligent fighter that doesn't get hit that much. But at the same time, I want to be the way I would like to, I guess, present my fighting style would be, if you don't hit me, I'm going to hit you. But if you hit me, then I'm going to really hit you. You know what I mean? Like, either you make the first move or I'm going to make the first move. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm getting the one that's going to come out on top, basically. You know, so that's I got a little mixed up and a little nervous on that question, but that I hope that answered it a little bit.
No, you absolutely. I mean, I know it's kind of I put you on the spot with that one. But, you know, it's okay. It's okay to have a mix of fighters. That's cool. So, Rudy, what does your training, you know, regimen look like in terms of how often you run, your strength and conditioning, your sparring? Like, what does that look like for you?
So, basically, I get a lot of criticism because I'm the type of person I feel like I have to sweat every day. You know what I mean? I feel like I have to sweat, and if I don't sweat every day, I'm kind of like, you know what? I'm doing something wrong, or I'm lazy. I feel like I'm not necessarily burn myself out, but like I got to sweat every day. What I like to do for example, I go to Interlift in the morning. I either go at 5 a.m. or at 6 a.m. If for whatever reason I don't wake up, I usually get a text from Carlos, which is a trainer at that gym. Like, where were you at? And I'm like, okay, I'll be there at 6 or I'll be there at 7 tonight. And then in the middle of the day is when I go to Knuckleheads. So at Knuckleheads, you know, it'd be anywhere like 10 in the morning or usually like at 1 in the afternoon. And then when I have that extra energy, I'll either run at night or I'll run in the morning between Interlift and between Knuckleheads. And it's just one of those things where, like, if I'm not doing something and I have that energy, well, why not just, you know, go run? I'm personally like a distance runner, but I like to run. I mean, if you tell me to – if I get on my earphones and I put on my running shoes and I just run, I'll gladly run, you know, 9-10 miles. Obviously, there's a lot of criticism of boxers running that much. You don't need to run that much. But I like running, you know what I mean? I like to sweat. As soon as I start sweating, that's when I'm like, okay, I don't want to stop sweating. I keep going. But, I mean, for the most part, I would say in the morning I go to Interlift. In the afternoon I go to Knuckleheads. I do my boxing routine there. And then at night, I go to 24, I'll go run. I like to stay busy. I like to push myself because, I mean, I know what it feels like to really feel tired as a fighter. I know what it feels like to not have that energy. You know, for example, that cut week, that last, you know, fight week when you're for weigh-ins. I know what it's like to not have any energy, but knowing that you have to go run. You know what I mean? So I got to stay busy. I'm rarely home. And if I'm not home, I'm working out. You know what I mean? I like to stay busy, but for the most part, to make it simple, is I go to Enter Lift in the morning, I go to Knuckleheads in the afternoon, and then I go for my runs either in the morning or in the afternoon. Just stay busy. Stay sweating.
Nice. I'm tired. I'm sweating just hearing your workout. I need to step up my game in 2020. just in doing some research, Rudy, on you, I had to troll through all your posts. I had to be a troll and go through your posts. I couldn't help but notice a post about the fact that you were seeing a therapist. And, I got to just say that that's very courageous and transparent of you to put that out there, on social media. Would you care to share that story with us?
Yeah. So basically it's, I've had my battles, like everybody else. I've had my battles, and some that's been for as long as I can remember. And I mean, every now and then I still somewhat have some battles, but it's more of like, I'm glad that having somebody, to actually hear you out, not having an opinion and not tell you that you're wrong. I've been told that I'm wrong so many times. I've been told to, I've been used to, just keeping quiet, what I mean? And I've been accustomed to keeping quiet at the end of the day. And it's just, I believe these days, I'm somewhat glad you brought that up, just because these days now with the whole social media thing, it's like, oh, you don't talk about your personal problems. Like, why are you going to put your problems out there? But what a lot of people don't realize is there's so many people with problems out there, but because of that whole, don't put that out there and you're just asking for attention and all this and that, people are scared, what I mean? And that's the biggest problem. And I believe that's why a lot of people have so many battles, is because they're scared to be criticized. They're scared to have problems. Nobody wants to have problems. We get it. Nobody says, oh, hey, I want this situation. No, but I just think it's wrong that that's the society that we're in. I mean, I went on a post. It's a very long story short, but I had a very, very bad issue this past year, with my father. And it's just like, I was criticized because I just went out there. I was asking for help. The way my mother had put it on the post, it was a scream for help, and I was just like, my dad stole all my stuff and he won't give it back. He stole my money. And like, it's just, I'm taking him to court, so whatever, somebody wants to say something, like I'm putting it out there. That's what I'm doing, because somebody had called me like, oh, hey, I heard you're talking about bad about your dad and you're going to take him to court. What's all this about? And that, that's a, I don't know if I could curse on here, but they're like, oh, that's a B move, And I was like, no, like, you guys don't understand. Like, there's a reason why I had to run. It's not, I didn't leave my stuff, but there's like an escape route. Now I understand a little bit more because I've been through it, but like this whole period abuse, like there's mental abuse. There's so many abuses, types of abuse. And my thing was mental abuse. And I was just like, I seen a window and I took it. I left all my stuff. I left everything. And next thing you know, I'm fighting the next 8 months, begging for stuff that I bought, begging for my money, begging for my possessions. And it was just like, I wasn't getting it. He was like, no, you're not my son. Leave me alone and blah, blah. And I was like, okay, so how else can I get to this? Because like I said, I grew up in a noisy home. I don't know a way to put it, but I grew up in a noisy home where it was just like, you don't say anything. You go to sleep and you wait for tomorrow. You know what I mean? You go to sleep, you wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be better. And if it's not, tomorrow's going to end eventually. So I've been growing. I just mentally known, hey, just wait it off. And that's what it was. And I just, I feel like once I put that post out there, back once I put that post out there, I was like 8 months, if not more, constant battles with my father. Give me my stuff. Can I just have my mouthpiece? I'm sparring. Like, just give me my mouthpiece. I just want my TVs. I just want my clothes. I had a bag of clothes, one bag of clothes for 8 months. It was like, I just want my stuff. Like, I don't want you. I don't want to thank you. I don't want any battles. I don't want any fights with you. I just want my stuff. I'll leave you alone forever. That's no problem, you know? And I was just mentally, I was done. I was drained. I even told him, like, dude, like, please, just give my stuff. Like, mentally, this is hurting me. Something's wrong with me. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, it's like, you know, I was just in a bad spot. And he laughed at me. And he's like, oh, you're just, you know, a P word and all this. And I was like, dude, like, he's like, get off my porch. You're not my son. Get out of here. I was like, dude, like, what the heck, you know? And I was like, so that's when I went to the Facebook post. And I was like, hey, this is what's going on. But so I went from being in a very dark place. And like I said, I was growing up and programmed to just say, you know what, hey, you don't say anything. You just, you deal with it and you wait until tomorrow. So it was, for me, I waited until 8 months. I waited for tomorrow's. And it was never ending battle. So I just, you know, I got to a very bad point. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to put it on Facebook. So I put it on Facebook. And because Facebook is where I had friends of my father. I had family. I had just overall family, friends, everybody that knew everybody. I feel like Facebook's more of like a family thing. So I put my story on there. I didn't put it on Instagram. I didn't put it on Snapchat, no Twitter. I put it on Facebook, because I knew, realistically, like a little confession, I knew I was going to get the attention there. Next thing you know, I put that on Facebook. I had calls, so many phone calls, so many messages, so many, like, people, like, call me the next week, like, hey, are you okay? Like, I support, so many comments. If you get a chance, you can see all the comments I got overall to support. And I was like, I really just beat myself up, cried myself. I mean, I was in a very dark spot. I mean, there was nights where I didn't want to take my toxicity and problems around people. So I slept in my car for about 4 days because I wanted to be alone. I can't explain how I felt, but I just wanted to be alone. It's a weird mindset. I can't explain. I was in a really bad spot. And I just, you know, I was like, you know what? Like, I slept in my car and it was just little stuff. And then as soon as I put that post on Facebook, I had so many messages, like, people tell me, hey, you know what, like, whatever you need, you're okay, you're all right. One friend, Jonathan Mercado, I wanted to go talk to him about, hey, you know what, like, I know I want to box, I'm just in a bad spot, but, you know, I'm ready to get back into it, you know, and it was basically trying to get my hype or my movement back up again towards boxing, because I was like, I'm done with this dark spot. And then it went from going to a conversation about boxing to like, dude, you're right. Like, you're okay. There's no reason why you should feel like you're wrong. Don't be hiding any of your feelings. Like, if you feel a certain way, that's how you should feel, you know? So that's one big person that really moved me and just told me, you know what? Like, I am the good person. I'll look you at anybody in their eyes. I'll tell you, you know what? I was right. You want my whole story? I'll give it to you right here. I'll give you details, whatever you want, but I'm right. What he was doing was wrong, and I was in a bad spot because of that, you know what I mean? And then Coach Haas played a huge part in my – I like to call it recovery, because I was literally at the very, very bottom. Like, I was rock bottom, you know what I mean? Coach Haas, like, there was one day where I literally – I mean, boxing is a brutal sport, for one. Everybody takes out their anger in boxing. It's known for that. There was one day it was just so bad, I started – crying while I was sparring. How that's even possible, I don't know, but it just hit me out of nowhere, like the situation I was going through. And I was sparring and I'm crying. The next thing you know, I get out of the ring, I just told Coach Haas it's a bad day. And Coach Haas, who knows how many hours and minutes, has sat down with me, and you know, I've cried at the gym in Coach Haas' office, you know, and I thank him so much. And I don't know if he's caught on to it quite yet, but I feel like I thank him 5 times a day, I give him a big hug after every fight, because I'm glad to be in a better spot than I am right now. You know, I'm glad that I'm mentally, I let go of the situation. I mean, my dad kept all my stuff. He kept my money, And I mean, I'm not talking no $100, $200. I mean, he gave me my piggy bank that was empty. He gave, well, I'm wrong. I took it back and I got the change back. It was like $60. But there was a lot of money in that thing. And I'm not talking $300. There was money in that thing. And he gave it to me empty. Like the courage, the heart to be able to do that. I was like, you know what? You're out of my life. That's it, you know? And I was just like, I'm in a spot right now where I feel after that Facebook post, I have so many people that I could reach out to. I feel like I'm right. You know, I have people that are there for me that you have some type of, not tell me that, oh, yeah, you know, everybody's wrong and you're perfect right. Like, sure, Cody, no. But at the end of the day, period, I would never do that to somebody. There's no amount of anger that would make me want to mess somebody up mentally ever. You know what I mean? But I'm just glad that I'm in a great spot right now, mentally, physically, at the gym. You know, at Enterlift, at Knuckleheads with Coach Haas. Coach Haas is putting all of my, I like to say, tools together, and I'm just ready. I feel like I'm recovered. That's what I did. I'm recovered mentally, physically, and I'm just ready for the most. But first and foremost, I really just, it all started with that Facebook post of, like my mother said, reaching out for help. I reached out for help, and look at me now. At this, I didn't fight for a whole year, and in 3 months, I have 4 fights, you know, lined up. Or in 4 months, I have 3 fights already lined up. The third fight being January 10th at Chumash Casino. So it's like, reach out for that help. Whatever your sense of reaching out for help may be, just do it. If you guys text 10 people, hey, you know what, this is going on, somebody help me, just do it. Because at the end of the day, I waited 8 months of crying in my car, 8 months of just crying, nightmares. Like, I had nightmares. There's a lot of stuff that's gone on in my life that I just, it comes back every once in a while. I literally had nightmares. Like, it was crazy. But now I'm happy. I'm in the gym. I'm just ready to be the fighter, be the person, and just overall, like, if everything goes well, be the influence that I want to be.
That's amazing. You know, I really admire your bravery on being real about your situation and sharing this, because as you say, a lot of people out there on Facebook and social media, IG, they share all these la-di-da moments of how amazing their life is and how great this is and that, and they don't put out there how they're really feeling inside. And then that's when you see things happen in the news. You see gun violence out of nowhere. You see, you know, people committing suicide. You see people depressed. You see people having, you know, getting on medication. You see a lot of different things happening out there because people don't address their issues. And every single person out there has an issue. There's no perfect person. We all have issues. We all, seriously, we probably all realistically need a therapist because we all go through things in life. There's not one person out there that doesn't go through things in life. Jesus Christ went through things. You know, we all go mm-hmm. through things in life. So, you know, I just really admire your, you know, your bravery for that. And I literally had friends text me while you were talking saying that they are now an Ochoa fan. People that don't know you, that are listening to my show, that are my friends, that you just created a fan base just now, just with your story alone. So you never know how many people you're affecting truly until you share your story. Sometimes we're meant to go through things so that we can help other people. I truly believe that, you know, because they might be going through a similar situation. You know, so how, you know, after all that, I know that there was kind of a period of time that you explained to me in a previous conversation that you kind of quit boxing for a minute because you were like, you know, forget that. And what motivated you or who inspired you to kind of get back in the ring and say, forget that, I'm better than this? Like, who motivated you?
So basically, it was that really dark time. It was that 8 months where I was like, it's weird because people were asking me, like, hey, are you still boxing? You still boxing? Oh, yeah, yeah. When are you fighting again? When are you fighting again? Oh, I'm working on a date. But at this time, like, I was going through all of these problems, you know? And then it's actually really crazy because, like I said, I got one bag. I gathered, like, one bag of clothes and I just took off. Like, I just didn't look back. I left the house, left all my stuff there, and then I was in a dark spot. I don't drink, I don't smoke, but I was so low at one point that I, when I was at my car and I got a little bottle of Jack Daniels. I didn't open it, but I just had it with me. But it was a mindset that I was gone. I was lost, you know. And then that's when I had got the text from Coach Haas. At the time, I didn't know Coach Haas. I had just gone through a whole lot of stuff, and at the moment, I wasn't training. And Coach Haas was like, hey, at the moment, he was Haas. So he's like, hey, you know, is there any way you can spar, you know, Andrew Cancio, we need sparring, you know, it's paid sparring. In my head, I was like, I have nothing right now. My dad literally took all my stuff. He has it. I have a bag of clothes. I'm sleeping in my car. Like, what am I going to do? Let me go make some money. Okay, whatever. So I was like, okay, let me go make some money. So first thing I thought was like, okay, let me go get my gear, my boxing gear. Let me go get my, at least that, you know, my dad might give me my boxing gear. And hey, give me my boxing gear. I'll leave you alone because I'm going to go make some money. Long story short, I ended up showing up to coach to Knucklehead Boxing. And I go up to Haas and I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm here. Can I borrow some sparring gear? Long story short, my dad didn't give me any of my stuff back, not even my mouthpiece. He's like, you know, go F yourself. So I showed up to sparring with like a dollar mouthpiece. Coach Haas was like, oh, you got your mouthpiece? I was like, yeah. But I didn't tell him, like, hey, I got a dollar mouthpiece, because obviously he'd be like, hey, you know, you're not going to spar with that. You're sparring, you know. Yeah, just came off that upset for Machado. Like, you're sparring the world champion. You're not going to get in there with a dollar mouthpiece. I was like, so I kept it in my pocket. I'd put it in my mouth right before I got in there, you know. And there's a big difference. I got a mouthpiece for the mouthpiece guy, and there's a big difference between you know, $160 mouthpiece and the dollar mouthpiece from Big Five. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was a big difference. And I was like, you know what? Like, it was embarrassing. Like, I went from having my full-on winning gear. I mean, I had my winning gear and my, you know, big mouthpiece and my boxing shoes. I ended up sparring the first 3 weeks in my work shoes, actually, and my running shoes, because my dad didn't want to give me anything. Like, he's literally like, F you, get off my porch, you're not my son. Okay, whatever. But I knew, like, you know what? I mentally was like, let me go make some money at least so I can buy something, you know? So long story short, I went into camp with Andrew, and I got the money. And, you know, the first thing I was like, you know what? I just went through this whole dark time, but now I got this money. Like, what do I do? Do I just say, okay, yeah, I'm done with boxing? Or do I just say, you know what? I believe in myself. All this money that I have, let me buy some brand new winning gear, and let me get my brand new bag and start all over. You know, and I was like, you know, I got this. Like, I can do it. By that time, I started talking to Coach Haas. I was like, hey, you know, I don't have a trainer. I was in a bad spot. Like, can I train here? And he's like, the gym's yours. You can, you know, train here as much as you want. Little by little, I was like, hey, you know what? I like the way Coach Haas treated me, so much respect. And I felt like he kind of caught on to, like, something's going on, but he didn't. We technically didn't know each other at the moment, so it was kind of like, you know, holding back a little bit. But I feel like once, you know, we kind of warmed up to each other, I opened up to him, and he just really changed me mentally. And I was like, I want a coach like that, somebody that respects themselves, respects the fighter, but cares, you know what I mean? Like, so during that time where I was sparring Andrew Cancio, I kind of, it got exposed because I got caught with uppercut. I mean, Andrew's a heck of a fighter. He's going to be back. Just throw in there. He's going to be back. You know, he just came off a loss, but he's going to be back. But, I mean, he's a heck of a fighter, and I got caught with an uppercut, and it was like, boom. Like, I just felt it, my whole jaw, and I was like, damn, like, my mouthpiece. Everybody's going to find out about my mouthpiece. Long story short, I wasn't able to spar the last 2 days because my jaw was just off. I mean, I was sparring with the dog mouthpiece, and I got caught by a world champion, you know, so it was kind of like, I don't want this. I don't want to be, you know, that person that just walks into a boxing gym as a sparring partner, you know? I mean, at that moment, I went in there because I was like, this is my chance to make some money. Like, I don't know if I'm going to buy shoes. I don't know if I'm going to buy clothes. And I don't know what I'm going to buy, but let me go make some money. You know, that was my motivation to get in there. And then I was like, you know what? After talking to Coach Haas, I was like, I could do this. Like, I'm better than this. So once I got that money, like I said, I made the money. I was there the whole camp with Andrew. And first thing I did, I was like, you know what? Instead of spending, I was like, okay, boom. I bought my winning gear. I bought some boxing shoes, and I bought my gym bag. And then I paid for the travel expenses and the cost to go fight in Tijuana. Like, that's what I did. That was my moment where I was like, you know what? I'm making little decisions like this, and I'm still, you know, like, I'm choosing boxing. Like, I'm not going nowhere. Like, I'm going to stick to this. I'm this far deep. Like, this is it. Like, I'm going to do this, you know? And, you know, winning gear isn't cheap. Boxing gear isn't cheap, and a brand-new bag isn't cheap. But the money that I made from Cancho's sparring camp, I was like, you know, or from his camp, I was like, you know what? I'm going to put it right back in myself because I know I'm going to do this. And that's when I was like, you know what? I'm full in, you know? And little by little, working with Coach Hawson, I am where I am right now. I'm in a good shape. I have a lot of – my mindset has a lot of plans. Coach Haas is really, like, sharpening me. Interlift at the gym with Carlos. I'm doing my work. I'm doing my part. And like I said, at the end of the day, as long as I do my part, I do feel like I'm going to – we're going to do something good. Confidently, I can say that.
Well, champ, you know, you made the best investment that you could actually make, and that's investing in yourself. So you can never go wrong with investing in yourself, because if you don't invest in yourself, nobody will. So now I want to kind of shift things a little bit and talk about the business side of things, because a lot of people don't realize the struggle that a pro fighter has to go through just to fight. I mean, besides the, you know, strenuous training that you go through, you know, you're held accountable to sell X amount of tickets. A lot of people don't know that side. So how has that experience been for you?
Well, see, like I said earlier, I'm fortunate to have the following. And realistically, I'm a ticket seller. Like, that's how I pay for my fights. That's how I get the attention. And, like, promoters say, oh, hey, we're having a show. Like, you want to fight? Oh, yeah, okay, how many tickets do you need? All right, give me 80 tickets. Okay, boom, I'm going to sell them. For example, I mean, I got – this time around, I think I got, like, I don't know, 84-some tickets for this two-match fight. They gave them to me. What's today? Today is Thursday. I've got them, I believe, Tuesday. I literally have, like, 10 tickets without a name. Other than that, Saturday, I told everybody, like, hey, I'm going to give you your tickets. You know, so it's hard. But, I mean, this is, like, days of – it's like you're trying to be a fighter, but you got to sell yourself. And it's hard because you got to, like, market yourself. And it's really hard as stressful. I mean, I have my mom selling tickets at work. I have my little sister, who's like my world. I have my little sister selling tickets to her mom, her friends, parents. And I got, because everybody trying to sell tickets for me, I'm trying to sell my tickets. And, you know, and it's hard because realistically, it is what it is. This world, it's a business. Everybody has to make their money. So unless you can produce money, you're not going to find the fights that, you know, that you probably want. But the hard part is, I mean, it's a lot of money. You're talking fights, they cost, you know what I mean? And it takes a lot of ticket selling. It takes a lot of stress. It takes a lot of overall, like, it's like, you know, you got all these tickets out there, but how are you going to collect the money? Where are you going to meet? And, you know, who needed two tickets? Or I want two tickets together. It's very stressful, but at the end of the day, it's all worth it because that, you know, you just, every little thing that you put into the sport, every little thing that you put into yourself, you just have to make sure that it's going to pay off. And the only way that you can make sure that it's going to pay off is just sticking to it and pushing through it. Just be strong, period. Like, that's, be strong and believe in yourself.
Yeah, I know that has to be challenging, and I respect, you know, your drive and your hustle to not let anything get in your way. That's actually how a true champion thinks. You know, you're setting the example. So I'm really excited to follow your career. And speaking of, you had mentioned earlier that you have this upcoming fight, and I know that you posted it on social media as Shumash Casinos. How can listeners contact you to, you know, with those 10 tickets that you have left?
So I'll be fighting, yes, January 10th at Shumash Casino. I had asked for 30 more tickets. They only gave me 20. I was running low, but I'll be selling tickets, the few that I have left, through Instagram, at that Ochoa Kid, or on Facebook, Rudy Ochoa, and just, you know, let me know, hey, I need some tickets, and I'll definitely take care of you. And I'm really, one day, hopefully, you know, I can be like, hey, you know what, I need 300 tickets, so that way I don't have to worry about that stress. I mean, first, when they first asked me, I was like, you know what, I need 60 tickets. Why? Because I knew I could sell 60. But now, look, I had to ask for another 30, and I didn't get that 30. But it was just that fear of having to worry about having that debt at the end, you know what I mean? But one day I want to build my platform, and hopefully at Chumash would be a great spot, you know, but so I can be like, hey, you know what, I need 300 tickets, and that way I either sell them or I can have a ticket for anybody that needs one. But as of the moment, like, it's more of when I have tickets, that's what it is, you know what I mean? But all my tickets that I do have left, and I will keep updating everybody, I'll be sold through Instagram at That Ochoa Kid or on Facebook under Rudy Ochoa. And I have a boxing picture on both of them.
Very good. You know, and as you just spoke, one of my friends, Marisol, you have to write her name down, Marisol, she said she's taking two tickets as we speak. She just texted me. She lives in the 805 as well. She lives in Ventura. So make sure that you save Marisol two tickets. She's going to buy that from you, and I'll connect you guys later. Rudy, I want to thank you so much for joining me on my show tonight. You know that Miss Tammy's TKO radio show is about sports, nutrition, and fitness. So now that we're actually supposed to get in the nutrition segment, but we're running out of time because your interview has been so amazing. And I mean, that really says a lot about you. You have an amazing story. A lot of people want to hear it. But speaking of nutrition, I want you to tell me how important nutrition is to you as a professional athlete. Is that important to you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, a lot of people, there's so many different, you know, diets and so many different concepts and ideas. Everything that's just totally, there's so many views. Your bodies react different. But, I mean, by far, I mean, I would say do what you like. At the end of the day, Coach Haas, one thing that really stuck to me the other day was Coach Haas had mentioned, oh, hey, you know what, like, you can eat as many veggies as you want, but you're never going to get fat off of eating veggies. You know what I mean? And so stuff like that, because I was like, you know, I've been binge eating my veggies. I've been putting more oil in them. I've been putting, like, salt, pepper, and that's, like, my cheat meal because I'm trying to stay in shape and everything. And he's like, well, okay, yeah, you could do that all you want. Like, that's okay. But I was thinking, like, oh, that's me cheating on my meals, you know, putting whatever I want. But it's more of, like, if you want to get detailed, then, yeah, you know, ask the nutritionist. That's definitely a big help. I mean, a nutritionist would help huge, you know, because they have their numbers. But at the end of the day, if you just want your personal goal and you just want to be a better person for yourself, stick to the basics. You know, your veggies, your proteins, don't eat too much sugar. Don't eat anything in packages. My rule of thumb when I'm cutting my weight, I don't drink any soda. I only drink water, and I don't eat anything in the plastic wrapper. That's worked out for me. There's definitely, like, you know, details and everything, but I know we're running a little bit short on time. But at the end of the day, it's just more of, do what works for you. Don't starve yourself. Don't worry too much about that number on the scale. Unless you're a fighter, worry about that number. But, you know, for personal people, like, you know, they just want to lose weight. I think people are so caught up on a certain body image or a certain number that they want to see on the scale. If you wake up in the morning and you have energy, you wake up in the morning and you're happy and you're not tired, you're doing it right. You know what I mean? Because, like, when I wake up, when I'm training and I'm cutting my weight, I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning, no problem. But if I have a cheap meal and the next morning I'm like, dang, it's 8 o'clock and I'm tired, something's going on. But if you wake up in the morning and you're energized, you're happy, you know, you're hydrated, you're doing something right. Don't put yourself down. Just keep going and stick to the nutrition. Eat your veggies and eat your proteins and drink your water. That's with the short time that we have.
Awesome.
That's what I would really want to express.
Well, you heard it from the champ. I got to sign off, but I want to thank you so much, and I wish you nothing but success in your career, champ. Thank you so much for being on my show tonight.
I appreciate you for having me so much. Thank you very much.
So you all heard it. Mr. Rudy Ochoa, That Ochoa Kid. So make sure you follow him on Instagram at That Ochoa Kid, O-C-H-O-A Kid. We were supposed to do a talk about gluten-free, but hey, check out my blog later, and I'll be talking to you guys all soon, and thank you so much for joining me tonight. I hope that you enjoyed his career. He really is a special guy, and I wish him nothing but success in his career. My next show will be in 2 weeks, so look out for that, and I'll talk about gluten-free in the next show, but this show is so interesting. that we had to go ahead and conclude with his amazing interview. So thank you all. God bless, and I'll talk to you all later. Good night.